Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa, where we help you tap into your highest selves in everyday life. Hi, welcome to Practical Consciousness, the podcast with James and Lisa. I'm James.
And I'm Lisa.
And we have Louie with us. Say hi, Louie.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
So today, it's kind of a special special recording today. We really wanted you, our listeners, to experience coaching. Coaching is kind of this, it's kind of this unknown thing. There's not a lot of like examples of coaching because it's such a one-on-one kind of very personal thing. But we wanted you guys, our listeners, to kind of get a taste of what it'd be like to be coached. And so we got a volunteer, Louie. I'm going to have him introduce himself in a minute.
Thank you,
Louie. Louie's
for being our victim, I mean volunteer.
Louie is a coach as well, which is why I think he volunteered, because he's not as apprehensive about it as a lot of other people. Which is fine. And we're going to do a kind of a shortened version of a session. And then we're going to pause through the process a little bit. And then Lisa's going to kind of share with you, the listener, what it is we're kind of doing in the actual process. Kind of go behind the scenes, behind the curtains of what the coaching process is. And just to give you a taste of it, just so you can see it and if it interests you, you can pursue it. If it doesn't, or you want to share it with others, you can. That's kind of our intention today. So with that, let's start with a quick introduction of Louie. Louie, tell our listeners about you.
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Louie Morissette. I'm originally from Canada, and I now live in Michigan. I've been here for 10 years. So, but done a lot of moving around throughout the country. It's been great. I left a 20-year career as a chef to become a life coach. So, kind of a 180 on my career right there.
Yeah.
That's a huge change. But it's been really life-changing for me and for others around me. And there's a huge benefit to it that I've seen for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. And then, for our listeners, so they kind of get a background, a general background, is what are you bringing to be coached today? This is typically something that would be the coach wouldn't know going into it. So, do you mind sharing what you would?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today, what I'd like to be coached on is I've been kind of frozen in what I'm doing in my own business, because I'm seeing like money problems, right? Mm-hmm. I have trouble paying my bills. I have a lot of debt from starting my business that's kind of lingering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's scary with the pandemic and everything. I did get affected like many people did. And now I feel like I'm focusing exclusively on the problem, and I have trouble kind of getting my business moving, even though that just talking about it, I can kind of see that obviously focusing on my business and making money would be much more beneficial than focusing on my problems, right?
Yes, it would be. Okay, so with that, I think we'll get ready to roll into an actual demonstration of a coaching process. Now, I'm going to play the role of the coach. Obviously, Louie's the client. And Lisa's going to observe and then sort of be the play-by-play analysis when we break. Because all of us, just so you, the listeners, know, we're all trained by the same coaching school, IPEC, all three of us. And so we are energy coaches. We coach energy. And so as we go through the process, Lisa can help, like, make the connection between the energy and raising the consciousness of the client, and kind of help you guys understand what that means. So with that, I think we'll get rolling. So, okay. So if this was a real session, we'd be coming together virtually or in person, and we would start with a series of kind of standard questions, and we'll go there first. So, Louis, thank you for volunteering to be a client today. And I'm actually looking really forward to talking about your topic, because I think it is, I can sense already that it's a very relevant thing for you. And I want to be sensitive to that. And I want to honor that. And so normally I would ask you the question, what do you want to talk about today? You just sort of said what you want to talk about, which is that I heard is that you're becoming paralyzed by the fear of money. And you already recognize that that's sort of an interesting paradox a little bit, because you realize that to overcome the fear of lack of money, that you need to get your business growing so you have the income. So that makes perfect sense that you would feel that kind of paradox going on.
Absolutely.
Why is it important to you, particularly now, to deal with this particular issue?
Well, you know, I'd like to be able to keep my home. You know, when that becomes into play.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm at that point necessarily right now, but it's something that, you know, I'm kind of seeing in the future of possibility. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of the fear is coming from. So I have that fear, and I don't want to lose my home. I want to be able to still have good credit. I want to be able to go out to eat. I want to be able just to feed myself. I'm married, but there's also that responsibility of, you know, bringing some money into the home, that it's not all the weight on my wife's shoulders.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense that you would, especially if you're looking at the consequences in the near future, even in the long future, if you're looking at the consequences and they're kind of facing you right now and you're focusing on that, it would certainly make sense that you would start to worry about it and start getting anxious about it.
Yeah, no, it's a really scary prospect.
Yeah. I actually wanted to ask you that. So if we were to map on a scale from 1 to 10, how fearful or anxious you are about this particular situation right now, 10 being it's dominating all of your thoughts, and 1 being it's kind of a bother, but I don't allow it to affect me. Where would you say you are on the scale?
Very frustratingly, as having coaching skills, you would think I'd be able to lower that, but I'd say 7 or 8 right now.
7 or 8. And then would you mind describing what 7 and 8 is?
I'm talking about it. I'm holding my hands. My palms are sweaty.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Like, I'm nervous. It's very overwhelming. And I'm just tired of, having that thought when I go to bed. I'm tired of having that thought when I go to bed and when I get up in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. So 7 or 8, I'm hearing you say it is pretty dominating in your thought process now.
Yep.
And I can see it's emotional for you, and I can see it's taking its toll.
Yeah, I'm tired of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, it's very frustrating, because, you know, I'm supposed to be the expert. I'm supposed to have all the skills to take care of that. Yet, even as a coach, I need that exterior help.
Yeah.
Because when you, like, I'm in it.
Sure.
It's hard to get out.
Yeah, and you're a human being.
Apparently, I'm still human. Yep.
Yes, coaching doesn't make you I'm superhuman, unfortunately, but. So let's talk about, cause I really want to see some relief, at least today in this session for you. What would you say, what would be the measure of success or the goal for in the short session today for you? What would give you some relief?
Probably just something I would have to fall back on to kind of distance myself from those thoughts. Like having a tool of some sort that I can use to distance myself from those thoughts so I can focus on the solution, which is, right, being able to grow my business.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you basically say is the measure of success for you in this session today would be some mechanism, tool, process in which you could utilize to shift you energetically so that you could focus on solutions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then what would you say you need to focus on or work on to be able to get to that goal?
I think really understanding that, like how that thought gets so strong, right? How it's so dominating right now. Okay. Just understanding where that's coming from.
So I'm hearing you say basically that what you feel you need to focus on is how does this fear become so strong that it impacts you in a way you know already that is actually working against what you feel like needs to happen to resolve it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the beast is like recreates itself. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah. Cause I mean, I can meditate and have it go away a little bit and it just comes back, but I feel like it, you know, I don't know how much time I actually spend understanding it.
Yeah. 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 That makes sense. Well, first of all, you know, I want to congratulate you because you're willing to face this. You're willing to look at it, and find relief from it so you can move forward.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, takes a lot of strength. Okay. Let's pause for 1 second. Louis, I'm sorry because I know you were emotional about it, but,
that's fine.
But yeah, I know you kind of get what's going on. So, Lisa, can you share what that part of the coaching process was?
Okay. I was taking notes. So it's almost like I'm evaluating James as a coach.
Oh, geez. Let's not do that.
Well, I mean, that's what it kind of, start taking notes. That's kind of how it felt. But I mean, so one of the big things I recognized was that you were acknowledging Louis for what his experience was and you're validating. And I would like to do the same because there's many of us coaches who are in the same, having that exact same experience. It's very difficult right now to get out and network, get new clients.
A lot of entrepreneurs,
are
facing these same fears. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was one of the things that I recognized that was happening, you know, because everybody comes to coaches with issues or problems, things they want to work on. And it's really helpful to hear from another human being what you're experiencing is completely normal. Because a lot of times people feel like, you know, this is just me. I'm off on this little island all by myself and I'm the only person experiencing it. So,
yeah. And
good job, James.
Well, and to add to that, I mean, acknowledge and validating, which is what you're describing we were doing there, beyond being sort of like a coaching technique, it's just a good practice as another human being connecting with another human being, right? And that you don't have to be a coach to acknowledge and validate or acknowledge and validate other people. It's a tremendous rapport building and honestly just kind and compassionate thing to do with other people.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of joking at the beginning of the recording how it's for the three of us, it's almost like it's just now part of us. We do it so much that we just do it unconsciously now.
Yeah. And obviously Louis is an awesome coach because he's shown us already that he has emotion.
Yeah.
And that's important. Yeah. You have to be able to understand that so that you can connect with your clients. So I bet you're really good at that. let's see. You got right to asking him what his goal was. Well, let's in the beginning though, you did a lot of reflecting back, which I really admire, because a lot of times when people are communicating with each other, they make assumptions about what the other person is saying, and you were reflecting back so that it was very clear, this is what I hear you saying. And you did that several times, which you know, that helps. I don't know, Louis as a client, hopefully that helped you know that he was hearing what you were saying and that he was getting the message that you were sending.
Yeah. Yeah. And for our listeners, it was like what this first part of really every coaching session and every coach will do it to some extent with their own style is what we call the agreement. And so what's important about coaching modality versus like therapy and some other ones is that coaching is all the client's agenda. If Louis had said to me, I want to talk about how I can get rid of my wife because she drives me nuts as a coach, then that's what I'm here to help him do. And so the agreement is really important because it sets the stage on what we're going to spend the coaching session doing. Otherwise, it can go all over the place, and it can end up really not accomplishing much. And right. So the agreement is an important aspect of, and if you ever hire a coach, you'll kind of get to where you anticipate it. It's so you'll walk into the room and you'll be like, okay, here's what I'm talking about today. Here's why it's important. Here's what I need to focus on. And here's our goal.
Right. So those are the questions that you were asking, which was great. You're like, let's understand what you want your goal is. And then let's understand how are we going to measure that goal? How are we going to know that we got to where we wanted to be? And that just, like you say, that keeps the conversation on track. And that's also part of the coach's job is to, you know, because many times the clients want to go veer off onto some tangent, and it's, you know, it's your job to just kind of keep them pulled in to, so they can focus on this one thing that they express to you why it's so important to them. So,
yep. Yeah.
And you know, there was a lot of championing him and pointing out that he already has things that he can champion himself on.
Yeah.
Which, well, again, when you get into your problem, all you see is the problem, and you can't see the other side of it.
Yeah.
You can't see the solution.
That's another really good point, is that in the coaching process, we as coaches just kind of naturally see the potential of the client, like what they're capable of. We don't really focus on the issue at hand, per se. We see the potential of the client. And so what you heard me was just reiterating to him what I am recognizing, which is what he's capable of doing. Even though I think, I mean, I'm asking you guys as coaches as well, sometimes it's like we see it and the client just doesn't see it at all. Right.
Right. Because they're stuck in the myopic view of what their problem is.
Yeah.
And they have a hard time. Just take a small step back, you know, and see like the things that all the accomplishments that they've made.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a coaching relationship kind of grows, then obviously that becomes a much more powerful mechanism in that process, because the client is now starting to see and realize that they do have the potential. And because that's really, when we talk about being energy coaches, we talk about the energetic shift, and you're going to see in a little bit here, that's really what we're targeting, is that shift, right?
One thing I wanted to point out is I thought it was really interesting when Louis, when you said I'm supposed to, like, it was like you're embarrassed almost. I'm a coach. I should know how to do this. But the thing that's really ironic about that is that's what makes you a great coach. Is that you are actually experiencing the problems that you're going to help people with. Yeah. And when you get through it, then it's going to make you even better.
Yeah.
But I think this is a fairly common problem, not just with coaches, but with a lot of people, is they realize it's a problem. They know it's a problem.
Yeah.
Yet it's not changing. And that's frustrating.
Yeah.
And they feel like I should know better. I should know how to solve this. I should know.
Yeah. I just read Gabby Bernstein's book. So this shouldn't be a problem anymore. And it's like,
yeah, exactly.
Okay. There's a little more involved, but yeah. All right. So
how many books do I need to read? How many times do I need to meditate? How many hours do I need to meditate?
Yeah. Okay. And another good point, I want to make there too, that I actually really, really appreciate Louis saying what he said, which was that, you know, I'm a coach. I shouldn't feel what I'm feeling and I shouldn't be stuck like I'm stuck. Right. And it's really important to know that even a coach, we all have coaches, hire coaches, right? That, that all of us need help sometimes. Right. And that, you know, we don't have all the answers per se. And that it's nice to get some help, to get some assistance and support.
Well, because we're coaches, we understand how valuable a coach is.
Exactly.
So that's why we hire coaches.
Exactly. Okay.
That's why you're doing this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So let's kind of continue the demonstration and jump into the kind of the meat of the coaching process here. So we've gotten through the agreement, we know what we're targeting here, and let's just actually jump into it. So Louis, you mentioned that you gave actually a scale of being a 7 or 8, and you said that the fear of the money is actually it's actually pervasive. It's you go to sleep thinking about it, you wake up thinking about it, and it's kind of dominating your thoughts.
Yeah.
So what, when you got emotional about it just earlier, how would you describe the emotion that you're experiencing with this fear?
I think there's frustration for sure. Mm-hmm. Disappointment in myself. Fear. I think fear is kind of obvious one right there. Mm-hmm. What else? Kind of feeling helpless. Also. Yeah.
And then experiencing this frustration, disappointment, fear, helplessness. What's the result? I'm struggling with a word here. What's predominantly now happening? What are you doing in this emotional experience?
You mean kind of what it's causing?
What is it causing? What actions are you taking? What are you doing around it?
So I think a lot of things that happen, there's a lot of things that happen, but mostly it's a lot of things is a lot of not things. So it's a lot of things not happening. It's hard to set goals because I have trouble believing in myself right now, because what I'm seeing is the problem. So I have trouble setting goals. I have trouble following through with the tasks that I've assigned to myself. There's a lot of, you know, I feel a little bit paralyzed by those emotions that I just named, like, so the fear, the helplessness. I think helplessness right there already is a pretty dominant one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of inaction.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is essentially that, you've found yourself now based on lots of reasons, focusing on the lack of income coming in, and it's starting to make you very anxious, very nervous, and it's causing you to become frustrated and scared, and that's paralyzing you. And so what you're basically, the actions you're taking are non-actions. You're just kind of wallowing in this, victim state, for lack of better words. And it's, what's interesting is I'm hearing you kind of imply that you're, it's affecting you. Ultimately, it's affecting your confidence.
Oh yeah.
And I get a sense that that's really, really like the major piece of this is that, as your confidence starts eroding, then everything else just becomes much more complicated.
Well, yeah, you know, like I still do some things. Like I still do posts on social media. I still reach out to people, but I don't think I come across as confidently as I normally or used to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's like how I show up is just not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it okay if I share an observation?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, I can sense your energy is low. As you describe this experience that you're having, these thoughts that you're having, I can sense that your energy is very much, it's nervous energy, it's scared energy. And I imagine that is, coming across in the activities that you're doing right now to build your business. What do you think about that? Is that an accurate?
I think that's very accurate. Yeah. Having that nervous energy, you know, like when you, let's say you meet someone, I was going to say networking event, but it's not happening so much right now, but
yeah.
Well, how it used to be, right? Yeah. Or even just someone at the grocery store, and you just start talking to someone, and you can immediately see if they're nervous, if they're uncomfortable, even if they're saying the same words, if they're doing overall the same thing, you sense it. You see it in the face, you see it in the mannerisms. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's coming across in my end, is that those mannerisms of nervousness, of fear, of loss of confidence is really coming out in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I see it.
You can sense the same thing.
I've watched videos I've done. I'm like, God damn it.
That's not the Louis I want to portray.
No, that's not.
Okay.
However, it is real. I will say that.
Yeah. 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 So, what is it? So when you look at the situation you're looking at right now, and you're looking at the dollars kind of going down, the bank account going down, the income not coming in, what is something that you can tell yourself, even if it's maybe not true at this point, but something you can tell yourself that looks at this situation in a different lens that would lend you to be more confident?
I know that I'm a good coach.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know that I can help a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, just selling my services is a source of income. Like I just need to sell services.
Yeah.
Of what I know how to do, and I know how to do well.
Right. Yeah. And so I'm hearing you say that one thing you are confident about is that you have the skill to help people, whatever they desire to achieve or to do, you can help them do that.
Yeah.
And on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being, you know, I'm not worried about my abilities to coach at all. Like I can coach anybody. And 1 being, well, you know, I can do it, but you know, I don't know how good I am. Where would you say you are there?
I'd say about that 7 or 8.
Seven or eight.
Yeah.
And how would you describe 7 or 8?
There's some people that I just feel I'd have trouble coaching.
Okay. Okay. So there are, some style or some people that you would, you don't feel like your skills could meet. Is that what you're saying?
And I think it comes down to certain personality types.
Mm.
And that's also part of, like, you know, as we like to have a good fit with the client, there's a reason for that, right? So you're building a relationship. Well, if you just clash, I'm going to struggle coaching those people.
Okay. Yeah. So what energy level would you say, and for our listeners, you know, when I say energy levels, Louis is familiar with what I mean by that. So there's kind of a little shortcut there, but what energy level would you say you would need to engage to get in front of those, that 7, or, you know, that whatever that 7 and 8 is, those clients that you are completely confident that you would be able to help or assist?
I think a mix of 4 and 5.
Hmm. 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Can you help me explain that?
Yep, absolutely. So level 4 is really that focus on others, right? It's that level more of love, of caring, of service. I like to nickname it mom energy, right? It's like that devotion to helping others.
Yes.
And then level 5 is more seeing the opportunities, right? And having, just seeing all the possibilities versus being restricted to, this is the only thing I can do, the only person I can help, the only. So it's to be more open to different types of people.
Yeah.
So I think a mix of that is what would benefit me most.
Yeah. So is it okay if I talk to Louis the coach for a second?
Yeah, please.
So Louis the coach, if you were sitting with Louis the client right now, with everything we're talking about, what would you either share an observation, or what would you ask Louis the client to help him understand that piece, that energetic piece, to get that person to make that kind of shift?
I think I'd have Louis the client describe his mission, like why he got into coaching.
Mm.
And to really bring out the why behind that.
And what is that?
So I'm back to client here.
Yeah.
So the why is, it's multi-layered. One part of it is, when in the last 5 years of my career as a chef, I felt like I was not going anywhere. I felt like I had peaked.
Mm.
Like this was all life was about.
Mm.
I was making like $45,000 a year. It was enough to pay the bills, maybe go on vacation, not really much money for retirement. It was just like, it's okay, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
There was just no excitement, no passion. It was just blah.
Mm.
And I was not okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I finally broke out of that, like I realized like there's other people in that situation. And, you know, my realization was just like that I can change. There's those three words at some point, small conversation around a fire with one other person. It was really intimate conversation, and just realizing that I could change, which in hindsight is very obvious, but I was so deep in it that I couldn't see that, right? Mm-hmm. I could see that I can change. So to get people to understand they can change, and then helping them through that change. So that's one layer. Another layer is I suffered a lot from perfectionism, which is why I focus a lot on that. I think a lot of the cause of what brought me to that slump was my perfectionism. And just being so focused on doing this little thing, which was honestly irrelevant, and not focusing on the rest of my life. Mm. I know for some people might say, doesn't that go against perfectionism? No, perfectionism is like, narrowing it down and being so hyper-focused that you don't even want help. You don't want anything else. You're just focused on this one thing. You're going to do it so freaking well that no one else will be able to say anything wrong about it, yet you're wasting all your time doing that. So there's helping people out of that slump and preventing people from getting into that slump.
I see.
It's kind of both sides.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you basically say is that your why and your mission to get into coaching really kind of helps you stay grounded and locked into what it is that you're setting out to accomplish. And that helps you energetically shift back into less about fear and more into re-engaging in your business.
Yeah, re-engage with my business, which that would be like, that's more like level four aspect, right? Re-engaging into that level four energy of wanting to help, remembering that I'm here to help and that I can, and that's what I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that makes perfect sense then, that if you're seeing a barrier to that, in this case, it's money. If you're seeing a barrier to that, then it adds to the frustration, because not only did you not feel fulfilled being a chef, you definitely feel the fulfillment that comes from being a coach and helping others. you know you have the skills, and the fact that, money could potentially be a barrier to prevent you from realizing this dream.
Yeah, because then I'm not, like, when I'm paralyzed, I'm not helping people. Yeah. I'm not doing the thing I love, and I'm not helping people that deserve the help, that are worthy of getting a...
Yeah. It's okay. What's going on right now?
I just feel everyone is worthy of living a happy and joyful life, and I just know how frustrating it is to feel like everything is just fine. And when you're aware of that and you're still in it, it's just such a horrible place to be in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
And first of all, again, commend you for being authentic and being you. I want to commend you on your dream. It's so serving and so needed. And so how do you harness this passion that you have, this dream that you have, this quite honestly just humbling commitment to your future clients that you know need you? How do you harness this to step in and go the direction of your fear?
You know, I think the one thing I've done before was writing down my why, right? But that's not been enough. So it's a good start, but writing it down was just not enough.
What was missing?
I think it's to talk about it.
Okay. So you've in the past, you've kind of got yourself set back on course by writing about it, journaling, or, kind of, like you said earlier, kind of acknowledging it, right?
Yeah.
And then now I'm hearing you say that got you so far. Obviously, it didn't get you all the way, but you got this thought about talking about it. Can you tell me more about that?
I think the idea of sharing why would anchor it much more, not just in me, but in other people around.
Yeah. What about talking about it and anchoring it in others and hearing, having others hear it. What about it? What about it will cause a shift?
I think others hearing it, but I think myself hearing it.
Okay. So I'm hearing you say that basically when you hear yourself talk about something, you're kind of like experiencing it in a different way yourself.
Yeah. Think of it basically as someone repeating a mantra, right? Mm-hmm. They don't just say it once. They'll say it again and again and again and again, like as much as possible. And I think treating it more without necessarily saying it every 2 seconds, but, you know, saying it, repeating it almost as a mantra is very powerful to embed it in yourself.
Yeah, for sure. What, thinking about that as a technique, as bringing more verbalization into your into this situation to kind of help you make that shift to get to maybe not avoid the fear, but at least deal with the fear productively. What do you feel now talking about that idea?
It's actually exciting.
Exciting in what way?
I think it's just exciting to share it and just to hear myself say it, just saying it now. Well, as you can see, it definitely affected me.
Yes,
right.
For sure.
There's
yeah.
no doubt about that part.
Yeah.
So just saying it more, just to have that stronger emotional connection and not just, which there's nothing wrong with journaling. I absolutely love journaling and I think it's a very powerful tool.
Sure.
But sometimes saying it just has a different impact. And I feel like for me anyway, I have more of an emotional connection to it. I think that's where our power lies.
Okay. So you're feeling the energy shift a little bit. I'm seeing it as well. And you're saying you're more excited now because there's vocalizing it would shift your energy for you. What would change going forward if you practice vocalizing and sharing these things? What would shift for you?
I think just by creating that lightness, right, take a weight off, would allow me to actually focus on my future and set goals and actually move ahead and taking action, such as talking about my mission, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one action out of many, but I think it opens up also to creativity.
Yeah.
When you have less heaviness happening, it's much easier to start being more creative and start thinking of different things. And now how else can I share this message? How else can I do this? And,
yes, for sure. And this is going to sound like a weird question. Is it okay if I ask you kind of this odd question?
You know, I like odd things. Let's go.
So you've come up with this idea that you could start vocalizing as well as the journaling process. And your hope is that kind of reinforces in you that you are in this for the long haul and that it's meaningful to you and that, you know, hopefully that commitment will carry you forward through the fear about the money and stuff. Right. So what part of you, feels like that's a good, technique you can utilize?
It just feels right.
Okay.
So if there's, like I said, there's an emotional connection to it. It feels right. I don't know that I can explain it. it's actually something I've never thought about before.
Mm.
So I'm like, after this, I'm going to go do a live video.
Awesome. That's great.
But yeah, I don't know that I can explain why.
Well, where I was kind of getting at is I was trying to figure out whether your heart is coming up with this, whether your mind is coming this, or it's intuitive. Where do you think in those three areas it's coming from?
Yeah, it's not mind. It's definitely more heart, maybe intuitive as well. But I think in this case, I think it's more heart.
Yeah.
Like I said, emotional connection.
Yeah.
Right.
I believe, can I share a belief I have?
Yeah.
I believe that the mind clearly separates, and I was saying the mind creates gaps, it creates chasms, and the heart builds the bridge. What do you think of that in this context?
I think it makes a ton of sense, because when I create the gap, meaning falling back into that, oh crap, I have money problems and everything, it's all logic, it's all numbers, it's all thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, sure, I get emotional about it, I get frustrated, but it's not the heart leading that. And in this kind of talking about my mission is definitely heart-centric.
Very.
And yeah. I think just talking about it would also open a channel of communication with other people and have a conversation about it.
And what does your heart tell you about your fear?
I'm not sure what it tells me about my fear. What does my heart tell me about my fear?
Try putting your hands on your heart.
Well, yeah, let's do that. I think I feel that it's just fear. Mm. Right? That it's, I can follow the fear and then lead right into what I see as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can walk through the fear and then walk towards the solution.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's telling me.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is your heart's basically saying fear is just fear. It's just an emotion. It's a construct of your mind, and that, you know, really moving towards the fear is what your heart wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So what are you experiencing now?
Relief.
Yeah.
I won't lie, I wasn't sure what was going to happen coming into this.
Yeah, I know.
I never am. Like, by the way, any coaching session, I have no idea what's going to
happen. Yeah.
Well, that's true for all of us.
Well, both as coach or client.
Yes.
So.
Yes, that happens quite often, doesn't it?
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Just, being vulnerable and opening yourself up, because again, that's what makes a great coach.
Yeah, it was so amazing, Louis. Really, really, yeah. Really, really. I couldn't ask for a better demonstration, because it was authentic, it was true, yeah. It was you. Now, for the listeners, we're kind of running out of time, but what we would do at this point now is we would kind of lock in, because coaching is all about forward action. It's all about doing something, right? It's not just chatting and talking and feeling better. It's now, what do I do with this? Mm-hmm. And so we would spend some time, Louis and I would spend some time talking about, okay, now what do you want to do next? And he said, I want to go do a live broadcast. He might come up with, every day I'm going to sit down with my wife and I'm going to share a conversation about what I'm feeling and experiencing, just so I can vent it, or whatever he would come up with. But he would come up with it, and then I would ask him, what's his level of accountability for it? Because that's the other important part of a coach's role, is we're here, we're not your friends, we're not your confidants, we're not your you know, family member, whatever. We are here to say, oh, okay, great work. You've done something amazing today. Now what? Because that's where the sustainability comes from.
Yeah. How do you want to be accountable for this?
Yes.
For because these things that you've come up with.
Without that, it's just a conversation and you're just opening up and sharing, right? And so you may not go anywhere with it. So because of the interest of time, we won't go through that process, but I already know Louis well enough to know that he's already working that out right now in his head. So
did you see the gears? Because they're going.
And I saw the smoke and I could feel the earth rumbling. Okay. So Lisa, we already have kind of gone long, but
I took a lot of notes.
Well, we bounced around a lot. We were going to start with something pretty basic, but we kind of deviated a little bit. But in a nutshell, what did we do?
Well, what I observed was the shifts in energy in Louis as he was talking. Mm-hmm. Obviously you're very empathetic. So, when you were talking about the things that really deeply affect you from the fear standpoint, you know, I could feel the energy level being low, but then your energy went up when you started talking about how freeing up energy from, you know, you were talking about, you know, saying things out loud and freeing up the energy so that you could do the things that you wanted to do that you knew would move your physique. Like your energy went up. You started talking about that and I could just feel your energy go up. So, that was really interesting to watch. It was really, I don't know. I'm hoping that it came through to the listeners too, because it was just really interesting to watch how you started at this level and then you just kept getting higher and higher.
Well,
and then James tricked you into being the coach. By having you coach yourself, which is where it's at, right? The client knows.
That's right.
The client knows deep inside what's right for them. They just, you just get so, you know, into that myopic view of what your problem is that you just completely forget who you are, who the truth of you is.
And did you notice when I asked him the question, there was a long pause, like, wait, what? And then he was like,
well, he had to stand back.
He had to pull back and he's like, well, I would ask myself why I'm, you know, what's my why? And
exactly.
And then he answered it. And to your point, that was an immediate shift from level one, apathy. I'm kind of stuck. I don't know what to do. My confidence is low, all that kind of stuff to, well, I do know that this, when I talk about my why and when I shift my energy to that level four energy of I really care about people and I really want to change the world, that he immediately went to level four, five-ish,
yeah,
right? And yeah, it was instantaneous.
Yeah.
And then when I asked him, what are you feeling right now? He's like, relief.
Yeah.
Because
that's what I'm talking about. That's this amazing thing that I'm wondering if listeners actually can see that. I'm hoping they can.
I know. I'm pretty sure.
Because all he had to do was just back away a little bit and his energy went whoop.
Yeah.
And he was out of it.
Yeah. 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 I really wanted, if this was like a real session, I was really going to go down the road of his shadow around money and kind of climb into the fear a little bit. Like, why does it matter that you lose your house and that you lose your wife? Why does that matter? You know what I mean? And kind of go down go into the shadow a little bit. But in the interest of time and the demonstration, I didn't want to pick that wound necessarily in public eye. So anyway, I would definitely encourage you, Louis, to spend some time asking yourself one really basic question here, which is what is my relationship with money? What is my relationship with money? What is money? What does it mean to me? What is it? Mm-hmm. What is it? What does it represent to me? What is it? You know, all that, because I think you'll discover your fear lies not necessarily in the money. I think I got a sense that your fear lies in your confidence, and money's kind of become an excuse.
Scapegoat.
Yeah.
Scapegoat money.
Well, you know,
he's an easy target.
Right. Well, yeah. You know how our ego loves to distract us, right? And yes. Yeah. and it's your ego is basically going, well, what about the money? And you're going, yeah, what about the money? And the ego's going, yes.
I mean, I don't know about you, James, but I've had to ask those questions.
Me too. Yeah.
Whenever you start your own business, especially after having a career where you had steady money.
Yeah.
You're going to face that.
Yeah, you are.
You're going to face that.
Yeah, you are. Me too. Yeah. Well, we're way over time as usual. Louis, I'm so very, very grateful for you to come on and do this. Hopefully the experience was good for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I don't know where to end it, but
thank you. We just want
yeah,
to thank
we're
you.
Just so very grateful and
very grateful.
And hopefully, like I said, you get some relief and you can. I was honest in saying at the end of this session that I wanted you to feel some relief, and it sounds like you got that there to some extent.
Yep.
Good.
Yep. I would
awesome.
Agree.
You're doing, you know. When you actually, I was a little, when you said what you said as your topic, I was a little taken back because my experience with you, him and I are in a mastermind group together and a tribe together. And I see you as an extremely confident person in your skills as a coach. So it just goes to show, we just never know, right?
You don't know. We're all human.
A lot of people are very confident, but deep down, they all have their own chatter.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's perfect that you brought this forward. And again, so grateful. So very grateful.
So when we end the podcast, don't drop off yet so we can chat for a bit.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. With that, hopefully you listeners got something valuable out of this. And if you have questions, if you have concerns, if you want to work with any of us as a coach, reach out to any of us. And in the show notes, I'll have Louis' contact information in there as well. And again, we're happy to work with anybody. And with that, I think we're going to say goodbye.
Yep, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye.